We are only days away from the general election coming up Tuesday, November 8th, and I have with me for the entire show today Commissioner Christian Dozier, candidate for Tallahassee mayor. She will be with us, talk about a lot of those issues related to the campaign and her view of what Tallahassee's future holds for all of us.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done. Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Opportunity for us to have somebody like Christian Dozier able to spend the entire show with us. And so when that came about, the opportunity was made available, we thought, wow, what a great opportunity for us, for you, to be able to have this at-length conversation with somebody who, not just running for office, but think about this, somebody who for her life is a Tallahassean through and through, born and reared in our beloved city, and being involved in so many different parts of the community, in business, her involvements with Mad Dog Construction for many years, other organizations, and then 13 years ago decided to run for office. And in the following or the 12 years following, has served the county as well as anybody, I think, in my opinion. I think she's done a superior job in many cases in this respect, that for those 12 years that she served as county commissioner for District 5, responsive, this the first word that comes to my mind, whether she was directly involved or whether she would make sure that one of her staff members was involved directly in whatever the matter might be. And I can say I live in District 5, and over the years we've been in that area, I've lost count, 35 years I've lived on the east side of town, and have had occasion when an opportunity when I needed to some help, some guidance, some direction, just point me in the right direction kind of stuff, or intervention. And I have to tell you, it was always a positive outcome right from the very beginning. Because, you know, it's one thing when you think, well, I might actually get some results. It's even better when you start that process and you're dealing with somebody who actually seems to care and returns your phone call or your email or whatever. My goodness, I mean, that's worth the price of admission right there. But for someone to hope that they can get some kind of action and then find out that, yeah, we're on this, we're working it. Well, that has been my experience with Commissioner Dozier and her team in all of these many years. Well, so it was that she decided, you know what, I think I'm done. I'm gonna hang it up, go do some other things that I have in mind. And she had a lot of people close to her that were encouraging her to run for mayor. And that's where she is today. As we speak today, we're now sitting here with Sunday, tomorrow being the end of early or the last day to vote early. And then, of course, the general election this coming Tuesday. So you're going to hear in this conversation, both this hour and in the next hour, a cavalcade of different topics I'm not the brightest kid in class. I'll own that. And I'm probably the least likely person to actually be doing this job. I will trudge onward regardless to try to bring some semblance of organized thinking to the conversation in the form of meaningful questions. And, you know, that's you know who you're dealing with here, so that's kind of how it works. My best efforts oftentimes are woefully vacant. But it's fortunate that Commissioner Dozier is quite articulate and lucid and able to address topics at hand. We're going to get into talking about the campaign tactics that have been at work, have been in play. Her opponent, Mayor Daley, and some of the things that have come by way of his campaign directly and by those who are aligned with him in his efforts to be reelected. But then we'll talk further about Tallahassee, about you and I, what we want, how different we are now than we were even 10 years ago, how the population that is Tallahassee, our citizenry has changed. And she'll have some very interesting things to say about that. So kind of a current affairs status. And then we'll get into looking at the future. I mean, where we want to be in the next 5 years. She has a lot to say, too, about doing business, how we have done business, the old Tallahassee and the new Tallahassee. And that new Tallahassee includes people who, maybe you're one of them, have come to us from other parts of the world, other parts of the country, some from rural areas, some from metropolitan areas, but all coming with fresh ideas, with a different way of doing things, or at least asking questions about why we do things the way we do. Who are those insiders or those who are vested? You know, who are the people that seem to have sway and oftentimes are behind the closed doors? You know, they don't see the light of day, even though that may not be legal. We're not sure about that either, but there are some questionable activities that, you know, more than one commissioner has asked, wait a minute, doesn't the whole business of a sunshine law or sunshine laws come into play there? Well, those are the kinds of topics that we're going to try to get to with our friend and the friend of this community, Commissioner Christian Dozier. Before we do that, I will give you a couple of important announcements that I think will be pertinent to your week, especially in regard to the election. If you are paying attention, that means that there are going to be some closures. You want to kind of jot these down if you haven't done this already. But the following closures and service changes are going to occur because you have the general election on Tuesday, and then you've got Veterans Day coming up Friday the 11th. So that just really, you know, puts a whole new wrinkle in things. Leon County offices, the libraries, community centers, animal control, all of those offices will be closed on Tuesday the 8th and on Friday the 11th. So again, Leon County offices, libraries, community centers, and animal control. Note that county facilities that are used as Election Day polling places will be open for voting purposes on Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now, exclusive to Friday, which is going to be, again, Veterans Day, November 11, Leon County Solid Waste will not be in operation. So, you know, your pickup day for collection is going to be pushed back a day. Just keep that in mind. Remaining open, so this is the flip side, on Tuesday and Friday, Leon County Parks and Recreation Facilities, and that's going to be the greenways and campgrounds, boat landings, and that sort of thing, those will all be open. And then you want to call 606-5300 for more information about the county activities and such. If you want to know specifically about your waste management stuff, 606-1800. So 606-3300. That's it. Yeah, 606-5300 is going to be the best number for you there. What else we got going on here? So then, if you're interested in knowing more about how to get to your polling place, well, good news. You know, the city's going to provide you with transportation, and that comes by way of Star Metro's Election Day services. As in past years, City of Tallahassee making available free rides on Star Metro's regular fixed route service and dial-a-ride service on Election Day, November 8th. Voters may cast their ballots between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Election Day. If you want to know more specifics about your particular voting site, polling site, and bus routes, go to leonvotes.gov. Stay with me, folks. We got Christian Dozier standing by. Darling, I'll wait for you. Christian Dozier is running for mayor to take Tallahassee into a new direction. She's worked, and she's done so on our behalf. So says one of the many mailers that have been part of this last number of weeks and couple of months, from not only the Dozier campaign, but from lots of folks, a lot of decisions being made this coming Tuesday. It happens that in an environment where there's more than just political rivalry at stake, I think. Pardon me while I editorialize. There's more than just those issues that have become more bellwether, I suppose, and maybe more critical to us as a community, like $27 million being allocated for Doak Campbell's stadium improvements. Okay, you know, there's a hot item. Those kinds of issues, along with the critical needs that we see in so many of the neighborhoods, north, south, east, west, that in some respects seem to get ignored or just overlooked. And I want to say, yeah, it's easy to get caught up in all of the politicking that's going on and lose sight of the stuff that's really important. So it is on this occasion, and it's for that reason, that we invited Commissioner Christian Dozier to join us today for this broadcast. And she has graciously, after she asked her team, she had to get permission to do this, okay, because she doesn't have her own life anymore. She is being guided through all of the various appointments and places she has to be. A lot of people to talk to. You want to run for office? Yeah, why don't you just ride along with Commissioner Dozier for a couple of days, see how that feels. Because it happens that, there's no rest there. It's a marathon. And then we have moments like this when she decides, yeah, let me go sit down and talk with Brian and see what we can figure out. So let's welcome Commissioner Christian Dozier.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Very well. I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
I am glad, too, because I am so confused, and I need you to help me figure this out, okay? So we've got her, folks, we've got her here for both the first and second hour of our show on this occasion, which is unusual, I grant you, but I think apart from and in addition to her efforts as a candidate for mayor, there are some broader, more far-reaching issues at stake. And I can't think of a better person to address those issues, with or without her candidacy for mayor, than Christian Dozier, because she's a native. Hello. She's lived her life thus far in this town. She's been involved in business, in construction business, and in other businesses. She's been involved in management of some rather significant issues for us socially, economically, educationally. It's kind of what county commissioners are supposed to do. from this humble point of view, I think she's done that job. Can't always say that's the case with everybody that I meet in these kinds of positions. But, Commissioner, you have taken seriously this business, it seems to me, putting yourself out there in a lot of these different arenas. And I'm talking about the number of years that you have served the county of Leon. Mm-hmm. Is it for you, do you have those moments when you think, that's right, I've been doing this a while? I mean, what does it feel like, I guess, when you look back through your work as a county commissioner and then even prior to that?
I always have those kind of thoughts. But right now, in the last couple months, it is daily, Brian.
Mm. Intense.
It is intense, but part of it is because if I was coming to the end of my, as I had planned, end of my term at the county commission, right, and supporting other candidates and working but not running for another office, I would have a lot more time to reflect on the last 12 years and really take it back 13 years from when I filed to run for office. But now that reflection is mixed up with the campaign and thinking about what's next. So one thing that has really stood out, my niece is just turned 13 in September. She was born just about 6 weeks after I filed to run for office. So her entire life, I have been involved in a campaign or at the county, and that's just extraordinary. It's something that it the family talks about. So there's a lot of different ways to look at that, but
it's like being a professional athlete. You got drafted 13 years ago.
Well, and actually I had not thought about it this way. This is actually the longest I've ever been in one job. I mean, it was on and off for many years, but I was with Mad Dog Construction for 11 years on and off. And I did other jobs as well. Important fact, I left Mad Dog just before I was sworn in at the county. Some people still think I was working there, but I've not since early 2010. But yeah, this is the longest I've been in any one job. Now, to my decision to leave the county, I'm also someone, and we've talked about this in the past, I believe strongly we are stewards of the seats we're elected to. Some term limits are too short, quite frankly. That's a different conversation for another time. But I came into office knowing that if I was fortunate enough to have the trust and support of our community, that there would be an end point where I would feel like new voices, I need to create space for new voices, and I want to do something else. 12 years felt like the right time to do that, and I'm excited about new people coming into the county. Of course, there was a different opportunity that people were encouraging me to seek. That was the mayor's office, and
and here you are.
Here I am.
Which, again, for me as a casual observer, is consistent with your approach in life. That I think it would be fair to say, are not a career politician. Just because I know you, you know, when you were a little kid, you weren't sitting back there, you know, designing your campaign hats and your flyers, and you came to this rather, I would say rather honestly, in as much as you were seeing opportunities to have impact that went far beyond what you were doing in your work as a citizen, business person, and all of that. And that just hasn't changed, it doesn't seem to me.
It hasn't, much to the chagrin of some folks, I will say that, and a lot of other people, thankfully, really appreciate it. The way my mind works, I see systems. I see the interdependency of all the different issues we have. Early on in my time on the county, I remember, you know, when I got questions like this, I would say, you know, someone sits in my office and talks about how many children are going hungry on the weekends or at night, you know, or over the summer. And it pulls, and you want to do everything you can to help those kids get food. I mean, what could be more important? But then I have to draw back and say, well, if we don't fund roads and we don't have a strong economy, those parents can't get good jobs. They can't afford rent. And so we have to think about
pieces of the puzzle.
Yes. Right. And our job is to support the entire community, the entire county, the entire city, and to recognize how these different things work together. And it's far different than it's hard to distill to a talking point. I will put it that way.
As much as your opponents like to do those kinds of things and reduce everything down to one or two issues and then cast that in a way that is nothing less than just another attack, we're going to give you a chance to set some of that information straight, because I know there's been a lot of mis- and disinformation and malinformation going out there. We're going to take a quick break. We've got Christian Dozier with us, candidate for mayor, having served our community as county commissioner for 12 years. Fortunately, she started when she was like 16, so she's got plenty of ways to go. You stay with me, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever? I will try not to sing out of key.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Christian Dozier, candidate for mayor. As we speak here on this Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday, is the last day of early voting. Of course, the election is scheduled for Tuesday the 8th. And I would imagine, Commissioner, that at this moment, there are a lot of people, maybe they didn't vote in the primary, and they're down to the wire, you know, and their friends are asking them, so who are you going to vote for? Of course, they're asking their friends, who are you going to vote for? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that going on, isn't there?
Every year.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm not in a campaign, I get those questions. I'm sure a lot of us get those questions. People who are paying a little more attention or more engaged or just, you know, a trusted voice.
Yeah.
So we are seeing that. Now, importantly, tomorrow is Souls to the Polls. So there will be a lot of folks going from church to polling places tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It'll be the last day of early voting, so people can still get out and do that. Otherwise, we're going to see a lot of folks vote on Election Day, on Tuesday.
Wow.
Some people really like that.
Yep.
Some people, it just works better for them. So this race is by far not over. There's still a lot of people who are going to cast ballots. And we can't, I mean, we'll get to fundraising, I suppose, in a minute, but we can't reach every single voter. I can't knock on every single door, unfortunately. Right. I wish I could. So those surrogates, people talking to each other, is really important.
Well, you've got a number of those people, I think. And if nothing else, I've got those results of the primary that tells me that.
Absolutely.
Because frankly, I mean, I think a lot of people just thought that they would get up the next morning and say, well, she gave it her best, and we'd have another term with Mayor Daley. That didn't happen. In fact, in the raw numbers, if I'm not mistaken, you actually came out slightly ahead.
I did.
In the total number of votes cast for Mayor Dozier. The funding part of that certainly does bear us taking some time. Because I mean, you know, I've been in Tallahassee 44 years, and with that, I have never seen this kind. And it happened with the Matlow Bellamy campaign or contest, I guess. And it's just been this flood. Meanwhile, I see a couple coming from your campaign. Nicely done.
Thank you. But not too many. It's a small stack comparatively.
Well, it's like in high school, you were looking at how many people you got to sign your yearbook. I had three. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, all of my other friends said like...
But they were high quality three. I mean, they're really good people, right?
That's exactly right. Well, in that respect,
yeah,
it seems to me that the thing I did notice in terms of the context and the content is that your stuff has a more positive tone. Is that me wishing that? Or because I'm looking at basically you talking about things that you've done and things that you want to do and the people that are saying, yeah, this is a good idea. Christian Dozier mm-hmm. should be our mayor. Meanwhile, I'm looking across the pond here and you're everything from the queen, who the mandate right. queen, wearing your crown, and
right.
apparently, you want to turn Tallahassee into San Francisco with needles and homeless people on every corner, and of course you want to defund the police. I think right. Have you actually had a chance to address that? This may be your moment.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm going to work backwards through that.
I just throw as much crap up on the wall and see what'll stick. My style. Sorry.
Thankfully, we got some time. Working backwards, and I will answer that question directly. So thank you for that, and then we'll get back to the mail and the fundraising.
Try to sort through all this, will
yeah.
you?
So a lot of folks have received mailers paid for by the Leon Republican Party and may have seen, local publication, one of your competitors, the radio station here, talking about how one group has endorsed me. And what they imply is that everything this group stands for or has ever stood for, I must agree with. It is absolutely not true.
If I've endorsed you, then what I'm... Then everything that I've done and everything that I believe gets hung on your side.
That's what they're trying to say.
Say that.
And
which is not true.
It's not true. There are very, very few groups that endorse that have a litmus test. You must agree with X or we won't endorse you, for example. But a lot of them have questionnaires. Sometimes endorsements come and we haven't even sought them out. But and I'll go ahead and invoke the name. In the Tallahassee Reports article that came out, a lot of people have reacted to this because they actually printed all of the logos that we, people who've endorsed us. And it was this article about being endorsed by extremist groups. Well, they included the firefighters and retired Americans.
Yeah.
And these are not extremist groups. But importantly, even the folks with the firefighters, they understand. There may be things we disagree on from time to time.
Right.
The point is they want a partner in these decisions who will respect them.
You know what I think?
Yeah.
When I endorse you, it's more about the person I have decided to not endorse.
Well,
I've got to go your way. You may not be my perfect candidate, but sure as heck, I'm not going over to the other side.
Well, sticking with the firefighters example, they certainly had cause to... They've had issues with the city manager and with John Daly, for sure.
I see.
But I really celebrate that endorsement because while they have had those issues and people could see it as endorsement against, it is also an endorsement for. Mm. As a county commissioner, we have to levy the fire service fee. We have to.
Right.
But there has been no transparency with where the money is going from the city. I've raised those issues. Other county commissioners have raised issues. I've worked with the firefighters even as a county commissioner. I mean, we met last summer when we were talking about the allocated costs that the city assesses the fire department and the lack of transparency there. That gets a little wonky. But just to know, we have worked together. So I'm really proud of that endorsement that it is both. It is against and for.
You're saying they trust you.
They do. And I appreciate that so much.
Well, they didn't just make that up because you've got the track record with them.
That's it.
For that to have been garnered.
That's it.
Go ahead.
So the endorsement piece in general, I mean, these mailers that are coming out, and now it's on Twitter, it's on other things about defunding the police or wanting, as you said, homeless camps everywhere. The extraordinary thing about this is I spent 20 minutes on Steve Stewart's show talking about my perspective that we actually need to have more funding for patrol officers. This may not be about increasing funding for the department, it's about priorities. In the last 4 years, the funding for patrol officers has gone down. And I hear from South Side neighborhoods and North Side neighborhoods that they want a better response time. South Side folks will say the officers that really understood the neighborhood, that could de-escalate things, a lot of them have retired. Our officers are stressed. We have, you know, everybody has recruitment challenges. So, I mean, I've actually said on the record multiple times that, you know, statements that counter their argument. But here's the real crux of it. They don't care. The people who are putting out these mailers, whether it's coming from my opponent's campaign directly or any of these surrogates, they don't care about the facts. They are, their approach is scorched earth. They will just tear somebody down to keep this person in power, and quite bluntly, someone that the Republican Party can't even endorse right now.
Tish asked me that question some time ago. He said, do you like all of this negative campaigning? I said, well, the question is whether or not it's necessary. I do think it's necessary because it really shows us how this individual plays the game.
So that's interesting the way you frame it, whether or not it's necessary. I thought you were going to, well, negative campaigning and personal attacks really work. They do sometimes, and we can get to that more in depth. But what I believe has happened in this campaign is that we have seen John Daly's true colors, what he is willing to do to maintain and
to
stay in power. And what I'm hearing more and more from people, and why we're flipping votes from him more and more, is that people are recognizing that, and this doesn't represent who we are as a community.
None of us like a cheater. No. We don't like cheaters, and we don't like people who bully other people. So, yeah, I think there's a bit of a backfire on that whole deal. I've got Christian Dozier with us. You stay with me. We've got more.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
If you have just joined us, God bless you. We're glad you're here because we got a lot of information in just a short period of time. Even though Commissioner Dozier, candidate for mayor, has agreed to be with us for the entire broadcast today, that is a gift. Because here we are, only days away from this election on Tuesday. So in terms of just a quick recap, what we've looked at in terms of the campaigning style, we'll call it strategy, better said, leaves a lot of us just sort of cold. But it is informative, and in setting some of these points straight, setting the record straight, I think you've been able to help me better understand, no, sorry, I'm not interested in defunding police. No, I don't have endorsements from radical groups like the firefighters, God help us. At this point, though, you know, do you feel like you've just done everything you could possibly do? Or is there part of you that says, I've got one more door to knock on? How does that work?
Well, like we were talking about in this last segment, a lot more people are going to vote on Sunday and on Tuesday.
Making decisions.
So now fundraising cuts off last Thursday. So we can't raise another dollar after this past Thursday. We're done. But we are canvassing. We're still communicating with voters. We're still knocking on doors. We're doing a lot of different things. Sign waving, messaging.
Radio shows.
We've got people, and I'm going to say, so phone and text banking. Mm. If you got a whole lot of money in your campaign, you might hire someone to do that.
Right.
We have raised a huge amount, given that we've been in the race for about 7-8 months now. I'm losing track. It should be sufficient, but I'll get to this in a second, you know, the comparison with how much he's raised and how much money has been in this.
Right.
But we don't have the money to do that. What we've got is volunteers. They are calling people in town and saying, I'm one of your neighbors, and I'm supporting Kristen for this reason, and I encourage you to do the same.
Boots on the ground.
So you can do a lot with boots on the ground, and I've said boots, flats, heels, whatever. We'll take flip-flops. So we are working it. We're working social media hard. Our social media reach has just been going up exponentially. And so your Facebook feeds, your Twitter feeds, the mailbox, TV, everything's going to, you know, quiet down on
campaign,
Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean.
It's amazing. But you got to, if you're running
You've
a race like
do
ours.
All of that. Yeah.
So here we keep touching on the money. So I'm going to give you this. When I filed to run, it was 12 months after John had filed, and we were already nearly $200,000 behind. That's the day one. And we knew what kind of campaign he was going to run. Even if some of the negativity, let's say the extreme negativity, the personal attacks, attacking other professionals and businesses in town, that has surprised a lot of people. I'll tell you right now, it didn't surprise me. Maybe the extent to which he went didn't, but this is what has been happening behind closed doors, and it was one of the motivating factors to get in the race.
So that's when you say we knew.
Yeah.
You were privy to some of that information, or how did you know? Just from your own personal experience with it?
Because I know how John Daly has changed in the last 4 years. I know that there have been, I mean, we have seen a few stories about bullying and how he treats people come out in, on a handful of videos in the last week.
Right.
Brian, these stories have been coming to me since 2019, his first year as mayor. And people are scared to speak up. I talk to people every single day for the last few months and even months before that who say, I would support you, but I will never give you a donation because I don't want him to know I support you.
Wow.
Because they fear retaliation, because it's happened. And that's going to sound harsh. I mean, we were talking about the negative campaign. Some of his supporters, they say I went negative first, which is almost laughable. If you are going to challenge an incumbent, you only do that because you disagree on something.
Sure.
So I have, there's you know, negative statements about him, but those are facts. They are issues that I disagree on. It is a contrast between what I bring to the table and have my experience and my track record and what he brings to the table and his experience, his leadership and track record. That's where we've focused, not on tearing down his family.
And that's why I say, for me, the negative campaigning in any context for any campaign is simply part of our, like it or not, and most of us don't, political landscape.
That's it.
That's how we all figure out this is how that individual can be expected to behave in a firefight. Because if it comes down to it and there's some citizen action group or just me standing up there at the podium, I'd like to know that the mayor is going to let me speak and not cut the meeting short and tell me, sorry, especially if it's another one sitting up there on that dais, another commissioner being shut down. I just don't get the rationale. But apart from that, I don't get the personality type that says, I am in charge and you are not. Because that's just not how it works. That's not what we are.
We are there to serve, to work for the people of Tallahassee. Hmm. The mayor is just one of five votes. You don't have any extra power when you get on the dais, but you are the chair of that board. Mm-hmm. And you have to conduct yourself with respect for everyone, whether you agree with them or not. And I'm going to say something here that actually I'm realizing I probably haven't said throughout the campaign. Mm-hmm. I made this decision late, in part because I thought other people were going to get in the race and challenge him. And for a variety of reasons, we didn't see, and what I'll consider someone who was really, you know, had a strong chance of getting or winning the race. Yeah. We didn't see someone else get in. And around December, I did a little retreat just after, you know, the holidays. Yeah. And I posed a question to myself. How would I feel at this point, a week before the election, if I didn't try? Yeah. Knowing what I know, knew then, know now, of how he's treated people, of how the decisions he's made to give away our economic development funds for a stadium, which is a great stadium, football is great, but ignoring the needs of the community and creating jobs and all of the work we had done for the 5 years prior. Yeah. Yeah. He just ignored all of that to fund one project, and it was a political choice. It was because some insiders, you know, high-powered folks in our community wanted that done. And he ignored the broader community. So I really posed that question, and I knew this was going to be an Everest. I mean, this is a huge challenge. Yeah. To start a year behind and $200,000 behind, a lot of people didn't think I could get it done. My feeling was that a lot of people are not paying attention to what the broader community, what the majority actually wants, and that is a diverse group. So I'm going to leave you with this number, and then I'll let you jump in. So throughout this campaign,
yes,
I am grateful for everybody who can give $1,000 or $500, $250. I mean, it helps because we've raised about $220,000, and he's approaching $500,000. He's at $480,000, and that's before you get to hit the political committee supporting him. But we did a little calculation. Of our donors, we've received 595 donations of $50 or less.
Wow.
That's people who can only give $5, can That's only give $20.
Yeah.
In his year and a half running, he has only received 53 donations of $50 or less. Yeah. He's not even seeking that money.
Yeah.
So 595 donations, $50 or less, versus 53. And to me, that says, and again, I'm grateful for those who can give $1,000. We need that money.
Every dollar counts.
Every dollar counts.
But what you're pointing to is the distribution of those dollars across individuals who have something else to offer than money. And that is their support and their belief in somebody who says, I want to represent you. You know, in that capacity, I'm fond of, you know, talking about how many years I've lived in Tallahassee, and it's getting to be kind of annoying, I'm sure. But after four decades, it occurs to me that this would not even be happening, except that Tallahassee has changed. And that's the part that Mr. Daley, perhaps, and others like him, who have this sort of mentality that in my mind is archaic. It is not where we live. It's not who we are anymore. And I don't, if that were not the case, I don't think you and I'd be sitting here talking about it. Folks, I've got Christian Dozier. Stay with me. We've got a little more for you.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Remember that we are online. Brand new website, by the way. Hope you will take a look, TallahasseeTalks.com. We have reorganized the site in such a way that you can access a number of different shows from our archives right there in front of you. You don't have to go searching for them. And we've got various categories like our producers' picks, and our favorite, most favoritist from among you as listeners, along with whatever we have coming up this week. And of course, that would regard our very good friend of this community, Commissioner Kristen Dozier, who's going to be with me now in this second hour, as well as we continue our conversation with her. Yes, about the campaign. Yes, about the role of the mayor's office in local politics, past, present, and proposed future. We're also going to talk at length about what it means for this community to be at a sort of crossroads. And I think that's where you're going to find in her comments an opportunity to hear firsthand what she imagines, what she hopes will be the outcome for us all in having greater access, having an opportunity to be heard more effectively, and to encourage more cooperation, more discussion about some of the things that are most critical to the quality of life and things that directly impact employment and economic development and recreational opportunities, all of the qualities of this community that are at stake. And so with it coming at a time when allocation for Doak Campbell Stadium was made in the face of a lot of very serious problems, you know, a lot of us have just sort of sat back and said, well, wait a minute, I really don't care, you know, which political party you hang your hat on or where you fly your flag or, you know, whatever. None of that stuff really counts. And quite frankly, in my opinion, it doesn't really matter at this level. I would, if you want to call yourself, you know, a devout communist, but you can actually get the roads paved and the schools provided for and, you know, golly, provide some employment opportunities, encourage economic development in various sectors, you know, think wide and deep, not just vertical and exclusive. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the incorporation of the great diversity that we bring as a community in art and sports and entertainment, in business, in education, all of this. You got a wealth of talent, you know. And if we just look at Leon County, let's say, 300,000 people. Let's go beyond that. Let's go out into the metro, 5-6 counties. What do you got, 500,000 people or better? You got to tell me. I mean, these are opportunities. Every single one of these opportunities that we're talking about are critical to the growth of our community, and not just growth in terms of jobs, although it's foundational, but growth in terms of what we consider most important. What do we want to invest ourselves in? And what do we want to be known for? Are we more than a state capitol or a football team or a university? Are we more than those things that are easy to identify as a means of providing the population with employment, but don't say much about what we really believe, what we care about? And what do we want to celebrate? I mean, think about this. Why do you have birthday parties in your family? Why do you celebrate holidays? I mean, why don't we just keep working? And why do we have to take time out to do something, you know, like, gosh, going on a vacation somewhere? Why don't you just keep working? Well, think about that for us as a community. You know, all the various festivals and concerts and all of those activities, most of those have come about in recent years, not part of our history. Heck, when I moved here in 78, the only major festival was called Springtime Tallahassee. And, you know, not known for its widely inclusive stance. You know, if anything, it seemed to be like a celebration of the old. It was looking backwards. And so, here about, what was it, 2015, I got involved with a couple of people locally, and we created what we called the Tallahassee Sand Festival. Some of you may remember. It was pretty cool. We were out there at Market District. We brought in a sand sculptor from Panama City, and we had beach volleyball tournament and golf, all kinds of neat stuff. And you know what we did? We planned it to occur on the day of the springtime Tallahassee parade. Everybody said we were crazy. Well, guess what? We had about 2,500 people show up who went to the parade that morning and then came out to have some fun with us. I mean, look, I just think that we have a lot more going than what we give ourselves credit for. And if we sit back and let other people decide for us who we are, well, that's your dad saying, well, of course we're going to Disney World. We go to Disney World every summer. I mean, can we do anything different this time? Could we try to do something else? And by the way, we're not 7 years old anymore. You know, Tallahassee has grown up. If we're still in our adolescence, okay, but we're certainly not little kids. Yeah. And by the way, if we have this beautiful amphitheater down there, why don't we have a performing arts center? That's one of the questions I'm going to put in front of Commissioner Dozier when she's with us here in this second hour. Here's an announcement for you before I go on preaching at you. This is the city of Tallahassee planning to commemorate the late U.S. Congresswoman Carrie Pittman Meek by naming a street in her honor. On Friday, November 4, South Bruno Street between FAMU Way and West Palmer Avenue was named Carrie Pittman Meek Street, continuing the legacy of this legislator who grew up in the Allen Subdivision neighborhood, just steps away from Florida A&M. Ms. Meek, or the street, Carrie Pittman Meek Street, will be officially unveiled, or was officially unveiled, on the, when did I just tell you, the 4th. That was yesterday. Carrie Pittman Meek dedicated her life to opening pathways that would help others improve their lives and communities through her work as both an educator and stateswoman. The idea is to rename the street in honor of her work, and it was originally conceptualized by her family. She was the granddaughter of a slave born in 1926 and the youngest of 12 children. Her parents, Willie and Carrie Pittman, who owned the Pittman Boarding House, which was a residence for college students. They instilled in her the importance of education in their children, and as so doing it, they instilled in her the importance of education, along with her siblings, who lived on the lower level of this two-story house. She graduated from Lincoln High School, the original Lincoln over there on Brevard Street, earned a degree in physical education and biology, what was then Florida A&M College for Negroes. At that time, African Americans were not allowed to attend graduate schools in Florida, so 2 years later, 1948, she received her master's degree from the University of Michigan. She went on to become an educator and public servant, taught at FAMU, taught and coached basketball at Bethune-Cookman College, now a university, longtime administrator at Miami-Dade College, served from 1979 to 82 in the Florida House of Representatives, chairing the Education Appropriations Subcommittee. She was elected to the United States House of Representatives for Florida's 17th Congressional District and served from 93 to 2002, the first African-American since the 1800s elected to represent the state in Congress. So we are honoring this woman who was, in fact, a leader in so many ways, Carrie Pittman Meek. Folks, stay with me. I've got Christian Dozier coming up right after this break.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Kristen Dozier, candidate for mayor election this Tuesday. Man, we're doing the best we can here to try to get things clarified. We've talked about the campaign. We talked about where you are now with that effort, the funding such as it is. What's top of your mind right now? What are you most focused on, do you think?
Oh, focused on Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday night. As you've said, it is marathon.
Between now and Tuesday.
Just continuing to communicate as much as we can.
Trying to keep the message alive. Yeah.
And quite bluntly, reaching people who have heard a lot of misinformation.
I see.
Whether it is from the Republican mailers, Leon Republicans, or the whisper campaigns that have been out there. That's been happening a lot, particularly the South Side. A lot of people got this misinformation that I didn't support black businesses, for example, or support any of the infrastructure projects on the South Side. Neither of those are true at all. But I have to say,
something to do with the funding. Was it like $70 million?
Yeah.
What was that all about?
So I've been on the Innovation Park Board for 12 years. And to shorten this, most communities that have a research university, you think about Gainesville, you think about Charlotte, Madison, Wisconsin, Orlando, their economy is bolstered or thrives because of the university. You got to get support for entrepreneurs. You got to support your universities. But you grow those entrepreneurial businesses and you retain your talent and you attract other businesses.
Right. Good model.
So our Innovation Park had not been doing that for years. And when I came on the board, I've been on since December of 2010, there was a lot of financial challenges. So I presented an idea back at, this is 2013, negotiated it with, it was then interim President Barron, Robinson at FAMU, and then President Barron. And the bottom line is the restructuring that we did gave FAMU 17 acres of land that they can develop or lease to others. And to date, over $70 million for a research facility.
Wow.
Now, FSU got an equal portion of land and buildings they were already occupying and access to funding. That didn't cost us any local tax dollars.
Right.
That was a result of homework, of working with our partners, the university presidents and our board, and having the vision of what we could do, and then doing the hard work.
Yep.
I may not stand up at a press conference every time I accomplish something. In fact, I am more than willing to share credit with everybody. Yeah. We got mailers coming out from Grow Tallahassee recently that have like a blank box.
Yeah, you've done
where
nothing.
I've done nothing. I've had no accomplishments.
Right.
Of all the offensive mailers, of all the lies about the house and everything else, this one gets me because it is so absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things they listed under John's side, well, I voted on the same things too.
Mm-hmm. But you were on the county side and he's over there on the city side.
Well, a lot of them are blueprint projects. We both voted on them.
Right.
Or if, you know, they say, you know, there was COVID relief dollars at the city. Well, the county actually did far more than the city because we got those federal dollars and we were charged with administering them. So it is just blatantly false, but the negative ads are not, I think they're
misleading.
Misleading, but they're working against them because, I mean, I hate to say this, but if you're going to tell a lie, have an element of truth in it, right? And it's harder to knock it down. These are so blatantly false that it's really easy to knock down. And for conservatives, for progressives, for independent, I'm hearing this across the board. So yes, whether it's the whisper campaign or direct in the mail or on TV, we're knocking these things down left and right. And I'll finish with this in case, you know, we're going on to a segment because you and I, we can always go down some rabbit holes.
We're okay.
what we're finding is his support when we started may have been an inch deep and a mile wide. Hmm. Our support is deep rooted in. And if we can reach people, again, with a whole lot less money, but a lot more grassroots support, volunteers, others, word of mouth, whether it's silent or public support, we can flip people, and we've been flipping people from day one. Now, we started with a great group, but we've been consistently flipping them because he has shown our community who he is. And people are saying that, you know, this is not the type of leader we need in the mayor's office.
When you look around the room and you look at other commissioners, county or city, I'm going to take us a little bit, hopefully this isn't a rabbit hole, but I want to take it a little bit different direction. And because this is really something you have said often, every time we've talked, it seems to me, that no one individual is able to muscle. If anything, that's what we're trying to stop from happening. We don't need the muscle. What we need is the finesse. We need the cooperation. We need multiple partners, multiple people with multiple stakeholders, everybody having an opportunity. So when you look around the current landscape, are you encouraged? Do you find among commissioners, city and county, there is a kind of esprit de corps, there's a willingness to cooperate and negotiate and all that sort of thing? Or are we really up against a kind of stonewalled old guard status that says our way or the highway? I mean, I want you to tell me that it's going to be okay, but I have the sense that not unless we push a little harder.
I'm going to say it's both of those things, and that might surprise you. I believe there are a majority of my colleagues on the city and county who have in the past and want to work together. We have never seen such a stark dividing line between this 3-2 voting block that we've got on the city commission, where you can almost predict, and not every time, but you can predict where they're going to land.
There's certainly a pattern, yes.
Yeah, we've really not seen that. Not in my 12 years, not in a long time, because every issue is unique,
right,
and there might be different dynamics.
Right.
I've also seen that any time we change one voice on the city or county, it can start to shift some dynamics, right? It's like a kid's classroom, right?
True.
You get a classroom tone, and it might be anchored by one who's really funny, or one who's really engaged, or one who's really causing problems. And you kind of get a tone of the class, right?
Right.
You get a tone of your commissions, quite frankly.
A bunch of school kids, I get
that.
Yeah,
yeah. That was kind of, I didn't mean to go there, but hey, let's go there.
I like
that's what
that.
That's what it's felt like.
I feel customarily appropriate. You know,
that's
where I fit with all the school kids. Right.
Well, and so we need to get back to a more collaborative environment, and importantly, and I've been asked this question a lot, it wasn't directly what you said, Brian, but in this voting block, everybody wants to know, am I going to line up with these two all the time, or where am I going to be?
Yeah.
Look at my track record. I am a unique voice. If and I'm going to say when, on Tuesday night, we are victorious, because I believe we will be. We need everyone to come out and vote, but I believe we will be. We will have a unique voice on the city commission that we've not had there. And importantly, someone who will ask the hard questions, who will look at behind that curtain and say, you know, this old way of doing business where things were in the shadow, where we're picking our friends, we're not as transparent. I could keep going on and on and on. There are issues we've been needing to clean up, more fiscally responsible. All of these things we've needed to do for a long time. I may be challenging to some folks because I ask questions.
Oh, I think you are. I don't think that's a maybe.
Well, okay, so I'm challenging to some folks.
I mean, I see a stack of all this negative campaigning against you. You're scaring somebody.
Right. The question is,
who?
Why am I scaring them?
Yeah.
Why would questions in a public process scare somebody?
Right.
Well, it's because they have control. They like the status quo.
They have a stake.
Yes. They like only listening to a few people, not the majority. Now, We don't need to have gridlock either. We can't do every decision by consensus. You know, that's not our form of government.
Yeah.
But there is a balance in the middle. We need to be efficient. We need to serve the people of Tallahassee. We need to get to work and quit having all of these battles. And that's the approach that I will bring to the city commission.
Now we're at that point where you and I are going to be among those significants. Stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
We're back. We're talking with Christian Dozier. If you've just joined us, well, you know what, folks? I don't know what you've been doing for the last hour, but you've missed out on some of the very important information, largely because Christian Dozier has a lot of information to share. We've probably just scratched the surface there. I'm eagerly anticipating what's going to happen Wednesday morning. That's where I'm looking. So we're going to go with your assertion that you're going to win this thing. Now I want you to talk about the next 5 years. It's Wednesday morning. You know, you've been celebrating all night long. You're dog tired. You're taking a deep breath and you're letting it out slowly. You know, you've got a case full of Tylenol sitting next to you. And now you got to think about the next 5 years. What do you hope for the city of Tallahassee 5 years from now? What do you want to see happen?
What I want to see is a restored trust and confidence in the city government. We'll always have tough issues to deal with, but let's deal with those and have those issues, you know, where we're, you know, doing some battles. There's going to be some battles for sure, but let's not have as many controversies, this personal conflicts and attacks. And importantly, as I'm saying this, we're going to have a lot of healing to do after this election, because there have been so many different personal attacks and misinformation out there. I think we need to work really hard to bring people back together to say, you know, we actually agree more than we have been told we do.
And if we don't, well, we've got another place for you to go because the grown-ups have work to do.
Well, that's the second part of the answer, right?
Yep.
The first part is we need trust, respect, but hey, even people who vote for me are not going to agree with every single decision I make. I hate to say that. I still want your vote. Pretty please. I hope I've earned that trust and confidence, but you will get a straight answer from me. You will know why I'm making a decision. Mm. There's not going to be anything in the shadows.
You said earlier, I'm going to interrupt you here because you said earlier, when you think about the people who have been in your office over the last 12 mm-hmm. years with issues that involve a hungry child, or a house that's falling down around them, or plumbing that doesn't work, or sidewalks that don't exist, or bus routes that don't go where they need to go. You know, there's something very fundamental about pain. You know, it's the ultimate reality that we all share. And, I get a little weary of some of the more lofty discussions about how beautiful our gateways are going to look, or the latest slogan that comes out of Visit Tallahassee. You know, I'm tired of it. I want to get back to being able to say, I am proud to live in a city where there is a community of effort and a community-wide effort to say to the people that don't look like us, don't live where we live, don't even believe what we believe except for one thing. They believe in caring for each other. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's see if maybe in this 5 years ahead of us, that could be our message back to you and say, Mayor, lead us in this effort.
So I think the extraordinary thing that shouldn't, I mean, it's not really extraordinary, but the point we're at, the opportunities that we have, the potential we have is stronger than we've ever seen here. Yeah. Our Tallahassee, Leon, the Big Bend in general, we've always had less funding from the state, from the feds. We don't have a stronger tax base as other communities around the state.
Right.
We're just always lagging behind a little bit.
Right.
But we really like, you know, not being, forgive me, Orlando or someplace else, not being developed
or
in that way. Right?
Yeah, right.
We have to grow. We will develop. We have to create new jobs. Mm. That helps people afford rent, feed themselves, feed their families, but it also helps our businesses grow. It helps entrepreneurs start businesses. It helps attract new manufacturers to Tallahassee, to our region.
Right.
All of those things we can do at the same time, and growing our economy in a smart, responsible way helps address the affordable housing problem, will help address gun violence, will help address poverty, will help address homelessness. So it's not an either or. We have to focus on development and job creation because it's right for the individual business and it's just the right thing to do in our community, but also because they will help with all of these big challenges we're facing right now. Mm. Through collaboration, and you've talked, you know, it's come up a few times, kind of the status quo. Mm. For a long time, we've had a group of people who had more influence, and you find this in every city, but more influence than others in city government, in county government, in our leadership. That's going to exist to some extent. But what I think is really changing and has to change more is that we have a whole host of leaders in this community who don't have a seat at that table, mm-hmm. who are leading nonprofits, who are leading in the entrepreneurial business community, who are leading in the tech sector, mm-hmm. who don't feel like they have a seat at that traditional table. So there are a lot of folks who will kind of say, quote, the business community thinks this. I reject that. Our business community is incredibly diverse, like every other you know, part of our community.
Right.
But I wanted to say that first. There is a smaller group of business leaders who've been in leadership for a long time. And a few of these folks, it was really eye-opening. I had conversations with them last year and leading up to the Doak vote. And they would say, on one hand, we need to support entrepreneurs. We need manufacturing jobs. We need new training programs. We'd line up on everything. Mm. But at the end, they would say, but you know, you just got to support Doak. And wait a minute. We've been talking about all these other things for 15, 20 years. You helped pass the sales tax that got us the money for it. You've been at the table the whole time. Why do you think we got to give it away now? Mm. And it's because, well, somebody asked for it. They're a friend, and the high-powered folks are asking. And it was a resignation. I may not like this, but we have to support it. That's what we have to break up.
Yeah.
Because they actually had the right reasons for not funding, not giving away all that money.
Yeah.
But we need to have people who will stand up and say that.
Sometimes it's about tying the bell on the cat, and nobody wants to be that mouse. I get that part.
Yeah.
When you have one major educational institution that defines this community more than the state capitol, look at where you go for entertainment. Look at where you go for employment. Look at where you go for attraction, bringing people into the community. We don't need a community theater. We don't need a performing arts community. No, because we've got Ruby Diamond. We don't even need an independent theater company because we've got opening nights. We got a football team. We don't need a minor league baseball team sitting out there at 90 and 10 because, no, we... we don't want to interfere with the sale of football tickets. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm giving you what I've heard from other people.
So I'm going to challenge.
Go ahead. Tell
me
I'm wrong.
I'm going to challenge you a little bit.
No, tell me.
I think that was, you know, there have been people who have said those things in the past. But I think even for folks at FSU or who may really, and I do, I celebrate opening nights and, you know, all the other things that we have.
All those things are good.
They're all good.
But
people from FSU that I've worked with for years, they believe the university, they're members of our community too, first and foremost, but the university would be stronger if there's more connection between the broader community and the university.
Right.
And they also recognize, you mentioned Ruby Diamond. We have so much arts and culture and so many performances that could happen that Ruby Diamond can't hold them all.
Right.
And Lee Hall over at FAM can't hold them all.
Right.
So they support the arts community in general. So yes, they think, whether they're at FSU or not, that we may need something else. Hmm. I use that one example, but...
But think about all the years that all that money sat there. And I'm picking on this as a topic. Actually, we need to take a break. I'm running on. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
We're going to pick up right here and we'll come back, okay?
Okay.
Christian Dozier is our guest. Don't you go away because we got one more and then we'll be done.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
We're back. We're talking with Christian Dozier, and with that, we've got another few minutes here. We have totally blown her schedule for this afternoon. I'm going to be getting phone calls later. I know this is not good. We've kind of gotten into this part of the conversation that for me, it's a little, it's in the weeds and it's a little bit more wonky, I suppose, in terms of trying to think about how it is that these larger, call them social or sociological aspects of our community play in. So forgive me, but I think what you're pointing to is people individually say, yeah, let's pick on this one issue, a performing arts center. It's almost symbolic for me at this point, because you could say, if we do that, now you've got a place for the ballet, for the symphony, for private groups, all of these different things could happen. Why can't we take, what was it, how many, $15 million that sat there for better than a decade, and they finally just, I mean, I'm misquoting this stuff. Well, you tell me.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting example and maybe a good way to wrap up how I approach the job also.
That would be nice.
So what you're talking about is a group came together, Florida Center for the Performing Arts.
Right.
And county decided to set aside, city and county actually, one penny of our 5-penny bed tax dedicated for the Performing Arts Center. This was well before I joined the commission in 2010. And we were just putting that money in a bank. The agreement between the city and county was held by the CRA.
Right.
So there was decisions to give the Florida Center for Performing Arts Association their, you know, money to help them do fundraising.
Yep.
So this was still going on when I joined the board. So that's kind of the background. What we saw was the presentations from the group the cost kept going up and up and up. Yeah. It was getting into, I believe it was $80 million or something like that. And then they would try to whittle it down, but it was still extremely high cost. Yeah. And they made a pitch to the sales tax committee back in 2012-13 to have this included as a project in our sales tax. Huh. Didn't make the list.
Right.
So at that point, we had a decision to make. Do we keep holding this money in the bank?
Right.
Or do we act, it's tax money.
Yeah.
Now it's bed tax. It's the tax you pay on your hotel room. So it's not a lot of local folks, but still, it's our family members. It's our friends.
Sure, sure.
Or do we activate it? Nobody wanted to challenge the very influential and really good people who were on the board of the Florida Center.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first to do that, Brian. Mm-hmm. I was willing to say, this doesn't make sense right now.
We're not going anywhere. We got all this money. Do something.
Well, even more than that, we need a performing arts center. But if we're not able to fundraise right now, let's activate those dollars, try to elevate arts and culture in our community so that we can raise more money in the future. And you know what? The first thing we did with it, we built the amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
If I had not made that motion, and I did make the motion to allocate that fund to the amphitheater in Cascades Park, we would not have an amphitheater today. Because no one else was standing up to say, what are we doing? We're spinning our wheels.
Right.
Now, you fast forward to what happened at the city commission in the last few months, and I still have a little bit to learn. I don't know what happened inside their house, but we now have a donor, a local donor, willing to put up a huge amount of money. They were looking for the city to donate land. And the cost for that performing arts center was substantially less than the other one. So I'm looking at this going, wow, I think we finally got it right. And the deal fell apart because something happened with the city's donation of land. Now, if there's a good reason why that land wouldn't work.
You'd like to know.
Well, I'd like to know, but so if I was in the mayor's chair, I would have immediately pivoted and said, where else can we put this thing? Because it's a huge opportunity, and someone was willing to donate the money.
Wow.
So we
spent... You think it's a missed opportunity at this point? Or
it's huge.
Still alive? Or?
I hope we can salvage it.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
You know, if we're successful on Tuesday, absolutely be working for it.
Right.
And I didn't quite conclude here. I didn't quite get back to your question about what I see in the next 5 years. The others, I mean, it's respect.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
But it's this. This is what I'm talking
that
about.
That kind of stuff.
Is let's get the job done. Let's quit spinning our wheels. On the South Side, I call it forever planning. We've asked the community and Bond and Frenchtown and other places to sit and do a community plan over and over and over again. We're finally starting to make some investment. We need to move forward. Performing arts, gun violence, the list could go on, where we just spin our wheels because it's politics or the city doesn't want to partner with other people. We are being inefficient. The mayor is just one of five votes, but it is a different role than the other 11 commissioners. You are a leading voice in the community. You speak for the community, but also, and quite bluntly, I guess I haven't said this publicly yet, but I want to do the job. I mean, the campaign, I got to be all in, and I have been all in, but I've still been doing my job as a county commissioner. But it's hard not to think about what happens if and when we win. So I've had conversations about federal, state, other resources that we have left on the table that we could access, investment in jobs and training programs in this community that we have not accessed ever. And a mayor is someone who can collaborate with other cities, learn from them. And I am excited about that. I actually think the sky's the limit for us on really doing a very smart approach to how we grow our community. A lot of people have made mistakes for a long time. We've made some mistakes. We can learn from that. We can do so much better. It's not going to happen overnight. Incremental progress is where we live. But I'm someone, and when you said earlier, you know, most people are just doing their jobs. People aren't paying attention every day. We need public input. We need people to come to meetings or email us or other things. But we also need to recognize you are busy, and you should be able to trust your government is doing the right thing most of the time.
Yeah.
Or all the time, even if you don't, you know, agree with it all the time.
Well, I think what flies in the face of that is this notion that we are talking about, this trying to rid ourselves of, that it really doesn't matter whether I show up or not.
It absolutely matters.
And I know it does your mind. I'm saying that I wonder whether or not we think it's going to make a difference if I express my opinion. I was on the phone with one person last week, and she said, I'll tell you my opinion privately, but I don't want anybody to know this because I sit on several committees with the Chamber of Commerce. And if they hear what I'm about to say to you, it could really come back to hurt me, my business, my family.
So here at the end of this wonderful time together, because I think we're coming in for the end, that is the most troubling part of where we've been.
Yes.
I disagree with my opponent on some specific policy issues. We've talked a lot about those.
Right.
I disagree with how he, I mean, his disrespect of people. I think that is wrong.
Yeah.
But the fact that people in this community don't feel free to speak their mind. Think about the talent. Think about the ideas that we're leaving on the table. How can we possibly represent our whole community if people are afraid to speak their mind?
Yep.
That is why I got in this race, Brian, because whether we agree or disagree, whether you support me or not in this race,
we need each other. We need to hear each other.
We're neighbors.
Yeah.
Come Wednesday, we're still neighbors.
That's right.
We have to treat each other as we would like to be treated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how I live my life.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, again, it drives some people crazy because I can't be just swayed because my friends think one way or another way. Or even, let me say, my family thinks one way or another way. I drive them crazy sometimes. I'm listening to all parts of our community. I'm doing my best. I don't have all the answers.
Well, that's why you have us.
But there you
go. We're going to give you the answers.
But this is my one job. Can't say that about my opponent. This is my sole job. Has been for 12 years. And if I'm elected on Tuesday, it will be my sole job. Yep. I work for the people of Tallahassee. And we're going to get a lot done.
Good luck, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for the extended amount of
time you've given us.
With all due apologies to Gary and all of the other folks back there who are absolutely out of their minds at this point. Kristen Dozier, my friends, there she is, candidate for mayor. We'll find out more coming up here in a couple days. Be sure to get out and vote. If you don't vote early tomorrow, you can vote on Tuesday. God bless you in your efforts, and may you be guided in your decision. Folks, that's what I do for you here each week. It's called Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, playing all local musicians their original songs all the time. Find them at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So, come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.